TV podcast with Tim Prevett. Welcome to the Slow TV podcast. My name is Tim Prevett. I am on a mission to help the world to love slow TV. So, whether you're a fan, a thinker, a filmmaker, or just a bit curious, the Slow TV podcast is for you. Hello, welcome to the Slow TV podcast. In this first episode, I am bringing you the audio to my documentary, That Damned Cow. Just what is Norwegian slow TV? Seemed a logical place to start. I've slightly edited the audio, taken out some of the lengthier instrumental music parts, which would have had video in the documentary. Please be sure to see the link to the documentary to watch it if you haven't done so already within the description, as well as a list of music and interview contributors. If you've enjoyed this and you think you want to know more and follow more about slow television, please make sure you subscribe to the Slow TV podcast. Thank you.
This is Norwegian Slow TV, a marathon real-time documentary experience of a journey or activity that can last for hours or even days. The Norwegian broadcaster, NRK, started with a train journey in 2009. Given the label Slow TV on social media, Slow TV has gone on to grab huge audiences at home and headlines around the world. This is the story of Slow TV so far, and the story of how that damned cow answers the question. Just what is Norwegian Slow TV?
Slow TV isn't only one thing.
I thought it was insane. I never heard anything like it.
Life's best when it's a bit strange.
What made me get it was when I saw the shot of the boats all coming out. You know, the people following it in this sort of this procession. People stood on the coastline waving flags. It's almost impossible to explain the beauty and the clarity of watching, of just actually letting something be, of watching it moment by moment.
In surprising ways, the ordinary can turn out to be very interesting if you look closely at it, which Slow TV gives you a really nice chance to do.
In June 2014, British Airways announced it was using the Slow TV film of the Bergen Railway on selected long-haul flights, as recommended by the content provider agency, Sparfax.
Slow TV is a great way, I think, just to focus on something that's really beautiful, a bit slow, a bit quieter.
Yeah, I think Slow TV definitely represents a new type of content. If you look at the way we consume content nowadays, everyone's looking for really short-form content, get to the point very quickly.
Sit down, enjoy, relax.
Just relax and be in the moment instead of, you know, running all the time after something.
Slow TV's story begins in Bergen, starting point of the 2009 railway film, and of the Hurtigruten ferry journey shown in 2011.
And a colleague of mine, he says, why don't we make a radio program to mark the day of the German invasion? We tell the story during the night at the exact time, at the exact place as it happened. And this was a brilliant idea, except it was just a couple of weeks to go and no time to do it. So what other things can you tell as they evolve? And some of us came up with the train from western to eastern part of Norway, and it's really slow. It used the sustained time as it did 40 years ago. Can we tell the story of the Bergen Railway in real time? And we called our commissioning editors in Oslo, and we said, we want to make a documentary about the Bergen Railway, and we want to make it in full length.
I started to laugh.
They laughed in a very good way.
Everybody laughed at it, and some guys started thinking about it overnight, so came back and said, it wasn't probably such a bad idea.
As we discussed it, there was something about the idea that was so brilliant. We hadn't seen it before.
The way I saw it, there was really nothing to lose.
The question that emerged was, why not?
Not what will NRK risk with doing this project, but they turned it to be what will NRK risk with not making this crazy program.
And if it doesn't turn out well, okay, fine, we don't do that again.
So it turned out that we was allowed to make the program.
Yes, we go for this, and we talk to Bergen, and they were a bit like, wow, they went for it, my God.
NRK2 on a Friday night normally has a market share of 3-4%. This night it had about 15%.
Of course, we didn't know the figures that evening, but we noticed a huge amount of Twitter messages. 1.2 million, again, of the 5 million Norwegians watched part of the Bergen Railway.
People that had never seen this before, and when they saw it, they were really sort of... they had to talk about it.
Somebody came up with, why don't take the iconic journey, Hurtigruten? It's 5.5 days, it's 3,000 kilometers, it's along the whole Norwegian coast. That had a 120 years long history. Why don't you cover it minute by minute for 5.5 days?
They came up and they said, Anniken, you know, Bergensbanen, that was a success. Yes, that was a huge success. Okay, now we want to go for 5.5 days. And I, what? 5.5 days. Okay, so 7 hours wasn't enough? Nope. We won almost a week of NRK2. Programming director of Bergen, he said that they would cast people after two criteria. They had to smile when they heard about the project, and they had to smile when they heard about the challenges. And if they smiled twice, they were on board. The script for the whole show was one page. It was the first 15 minutes that was scripted. And then it just said MFM mode, which means minute by minute. Mode.
But after a couple of days, when everyone saw what was happening and people were staying home and watching this all the time, and people were meeting these boats along the coastline, and then the press sort of had to talk about it, and at the end it was sort of something that, yeah, it really had national attention. It wasn't a big thing, no one expected this to be a big thing. We were promoting it as we always do when we have sort of productions.
We got a short email. Do you know that the Royal Yacht is in northern Norway? You will pass it tomorrow morning at just 9:15, just before the end port, then the Kirkenes. The Queen of Norway, Queen Sonja, will be standing there waving. What just happened? Being 5.5 days on TV live, they can actually phone in while the program is still on, and they can actually contribute to us to change something.
But we realized this is now so big, we want to have a helicopter shot, so we didn't know where to rent a helicopter near Kirkenes, so we just got out a Twitter message, do anybody know where to rent a helicopter? Took 2 seconds, and then comes some call Johnny on 92, blah, blah, blah.
The success of the ferry journey pushed the boat out for Slow TV even further. Other projects since have included the wildlife-based Peep Show and...
24 hours of salmon fishing. Just mounted a lot of cameras and wire cameras across the river, and the huge production of just fishing salmon. It took about 3 hours before the first salmon was landed. After about 18 hours of fishing, I spoke to the head of channel, and he said, it felt a little short, didn't it?
We wanted to knit a sweater from a sheep in real time. And the Australians, of course, have the record. I think it's around 5 hours or something. We used almost 9, but it was a fabulous TV night. Thank you. and you think about that each person in that boat has stood up in the morning, has made a lunchbox, has bought petrol for the engine, has walked down to the boat, has made so great effort to take part in the program. And then you watch out and you see 300 boats like that. It's touching and it's quite, yes, amazing.
Yeah, they always ask, what's the next? What's the next? Well, now we're going to sing the whole Norwegian hymn book from the first to the last song. And it takes 2.5 days. And then they start laughing again and they say, NRK, you're crazy.
Opened by the Norwegian culture minister, Salmabokke, minute for minute, the hymn book, minute by minute, attracted audiences only exceeded by the Hurtigruten broadcast. Over 3,000 people across 200 choirs sang 899 hymns over 60 hours. 17,000 attended the church in Trondheim. And social media played a significant way of participating in the event. Once again, Slow TV impacted ratings, viewers, and participants in a memorable experience.
It's really important that the things we make program about, it should be done properly with high quality, should be on TV, and it should be about something that people can relate to, that about subject that has a root in our culture, that's about something important. It's something worth telling a story about.
That particular form of Slow Television was about embodying all kinds of ideas of kind of national pride and the things in which we as a country get very excited about, but savouring and enjoying that in real time, not something that's kind of edited and sped up and manipulated, but just to enjoy something for what it actually is.
That is also a very important Slow TV ingredient, trying to take the audience on board the train, on board the ship, on board the journey.
The longer you keep a picture, and especially a big picture, the longer you keep it, the more interesting it gets. As a viewer, you have to look in the picture, you have to find the things you can watch, and you start to get interesting into details in the picture, and you actually make the stories yourself between your own ears. It's no producer that have told you that this is interesting.
People's initial reactions that I've seen from outside of Norway are, what are they doing? It's a real surprise, but that seems to be one of the things about doing Slow TV, is doing something unexpected.
Slow TV, if you put it on the night time, or if you put it on the web, or you put it on daytime because you don't risk it, you make it less important. It's by, you know, giving it to people prime time and say, this is something else. Sit down, relax, and have an experience.
It's important saying that it's being told on TV because it's so different. This way of producing is so different from all of the TV programs, that it stands out. And being at least parts of it in prime time, as a broadcaster, you say to your audience that this is important, this is something that you really should watch. Every project is unique. It's not a remake of the other one, but it's a new one. So, and important also to sort of push the boundaries for each project. Real time is it's a very important thing. Do not cut in the timeline.
We put as much effort into this as we do producing from the Olympics.
Slow TV resonates with viewers in different and surprising ways. and subjects which connect with heritage, culture and identity give experiences, usually at home, in national events and major sports fixtures.
Trying to get an idea if Slow TV really is so engaging, if it does make people think, I'm proud to be from my country, and if it makes people react differently to watching TV.
So the drama in Slow TV productions are quite different than the other types of drama that you would see.
This is something completely different, and it makes people that actually looks at it look at things in a different way. I remember very much the CEO of Digital Rights Group, when we presented it to him. And eventually we showed him a sequence which I thought was, I think was probably 12 minutes long, following a cow. But he kind of followed that story for 12 minutes. And he's seen a lot of television. And the day after he said,
that damn cow kept me awake.
And that kind of shows, I think, that it changes the way we look at the screen, you know, because we start to look in the picture for what's going on here. What can I detect from what is going on? You know, you search in the picture in a different way than you normally would have time to do.
When you start watching it, in the beginning you get impatient. Aren't they going to cut? Isn't something going to happen? And you can feel that nothing's happening. But if you still watch, then if you watch it for like 5 minutes more, and then if suddenly a very, very small thing happens, like a bird comes, ooh, a bird! So things get a different meaning. I think you put the viewer into a different state of mind.
You keep sitting there and watching because something could happen. Probably won't, as always, but something could happen. Because it's live and nobody has cut it out the interesting part for you.
Whether it's the camera suddenly catching the cow and following that cow's meandering journey as the cow can't quite decide whether to turn left or right, you know, you the viewer don't know where this is going. You get lost in the moment.
I think people really do engage with Slow TV differently than we do our usual faster styles of television. People seem to want to watch it for longer, just in case you miss something. I've experienced that myself, sitting in the hotel, sort of writing up social media late at night, and thinking, I'll keep the next one on, and then I'll turn it off, and then, no, I really enjoyed that one, I want to see what else happens.
And you start really making the whole content in your own head. That's Slow TV, and you have to keep the picture for so long that you start making those stories.
Cow is the core of Slow TV.
Yeah. It proved to have some kind of hypnotic effect that nobody really did think of in the first place.
Slow TV very much falls into that kind of relaxing, mesmerizing content where you can have it in the background, you can just kind of glance at it from time to time, and it does help to relax you.
One of them, for instance, forgot about his cooking, so he thought it was a fire on the ship because he started to smell something that was burned, right? And eventually it turned out it was a fire in his own kitchen.
And this 76-year-old who wrote to us after the railway program, he was so hypnotized by just sitting and watching the rails go by. And about 3 o'clock in the morning when we stopped at the end station, he got up from his chair, thought he was just reaching for his luggage, realizing that he was in his own living room, just crashing into the curtain.
But people got mesmerized, and some people were sitting up all night watching this.
I'm a lecturer here at Salford University, and I teach the UK's first and only media psychology master's course.
When we engage with television narratives or film narratives, there's different levels with which we can engage with them. We can simply be in their presence, or we can pay attention to them but not really be fully involved in the events of that narrative. Or we can be fully transported into the narrative world and enter what some people describe as a state of flow. And that state of flow is when you lose self-consciousness. So you lose awareness of yourself in the non-media world and you're transported into the world that exists in the narrative that you're watching. And in which case you tend to lose track of time, you lose self-reflection, and you're fully immersed in the events as they're unfolding. And that's an intensely rewarding experience and a pleasurable experience.
It's relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wind down. It's kind of, there is no stress. It's kind of, it makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. Slow TV offers you an attractive kind of an environment that you can sink into. Marshall McLuhan said that people don't really read the morning newspaper. They sink into it like a warm bath. And this is really true of slow TV. You can sink into it like a warm bath. It's this meditative, enveloping kind of thing that's just pleasant to be in if you're in the mood for something more meditative.
But we know that people sort of leave the TV on, and the program becomes sort of part of their daily life.
Get into the watching the choirs and the different songs and the organs playing and everything. It's like, it's a nice thing to watch, I think.
We very strongly believe that slow TV is a great way to help passengers relax. We've done a lot of research, our own research, looking into the habits of passengers on board.
There are parallels to be made with ambient music, I think. And some people have proposed ambient TV as an alternative to slow TV. I think that's actually quite good.
So slow TV is it's a way of showing people that just relax. You can get other things done afterwards. It's a way of calming you down, really.
It's slow moving and it doesn't necessarily take up all of your attention. There's attention left over for other media.
They had this program, Bergen Railway, on the telly, on the party, on the Friday night. Turn the music, our music down and turn up their own music, but still have the pictures on the party.
So during your meal, we've had feedback that customers have had slow TV on in the background and just glance up occasionally at it, just to kind of enjoy the views that come through from the train journey.
A basic human need is to feel a sense of belonging and to feel a sense of connection. So those kinds of TV events, which are national events, which bring together national audiences, all those kinds of TV events that are related to things in the country, such as very well-known and iconic journeys, as have been used in the Norwegian slow TV, they instill a sense of connection and belonging, which satisfies our need to feel part of a society, part of a culture.
This is the feeling of 17th of May, which is our national anniversary day, and Christmas Eve and everything all together, and people are all joining in. And the viewing and the ratings and the numbers, it was like half the population had watched her do it. It was 2 million people who had been watching it at some time to another. And it became a huge event. And more people came down with flags, and they came with dancing groups, and they came with banners, but they had Will You Marry Me, they proposed live, everything happened. And we had foreseen nothing of this. Never. We have never done a production like this.
It feels great, you know, to be part of something that is bigger than ourselves.
I was told 755, Norwegian National Anthem, be inside the church, it'll be good. And then 753 was the tune to the British National Anthem. The words obviously were different, but it's, oh, this is like from my country. And I suddenly felt a well of emotion and got goosebumps. So it was, and the mood for both of the songs, the Norwegian and the UK National Anthem tune, the mood felt very sort of joined together, very sort of pleased to be here and pleased to be who we are.
The idea of slow TV is catching on. Online platforms now host a range of homemade slow TV subjects and journeys. What is the wider future for slow TV? Could an American production of the Norwegian format make an impact? And how can something which lasts for so long be remembered in just a few words?
What you choose to enjoy through the method of slow TV will change from country to country. You know, a boat trip or knitting or hymn singing will resonate in one country, it may not have any cultural relevance in another.
As for Norwegian slow TV, nature and Norwegianness is a major thing, which does not mean that it couldn't be attractive in other countries, but then there would be Canadian nature and Canadianness or something like that.
If this happens, it will be groundbreaking. Nothing like this has ever been done before on American television. It goes absolutely in the opposite direction of every other kind of television on air in that country, and I think it will have tremendous impact.
We have a number of clients asking about Slow TV, and I think they're recognising the value of having another alternative for passengers, that something that will surprise them, something that will show that the airline is thinking about their state of mind as they're travelling. We think there's a lot of value to Slow TV. We're really pleased that we're experimenting with it. We hope to push it forward.
Every fall we have a Slow TV strategy seminar now. That this is has become a new TV genre. We have a seminar where we talk about all kinds of crazy ideas.
I think that we can continue doing this with new subjects, with new journeys. We can continue, not too often, because this is a kind of an event that has to be. So once or twice a year, perhaps, we can make something special. And we have a really long list of possible subjects.
But for me, it is about the celebration of either a journey or an activity in real time, minute by minute, and letting television become almost a meditation, you know, something that you can just sit and enjoy and truly be in the moment. Slow TV is now part of the international media lexicon.
Slow TV is just one way of telling a TV story.
So it seems perhaps it reaches the parts that some other styles of documentary don't reach.
I hope that this slow TV spreads around the world and contributes to us being a little bit more relaxed.
Material copyright Tim Privett.